Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
DIGITEX.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:35 at Edmonton. Let's head straight off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Many people would suggest our next guest has been a wizard. Well, he was once a wizard, a Stuttgart wizard, playing over in Germany. We welcome back to the show the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, Jay Woodcroft. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. That's you reached into the tickle trunk to find that one out. That was a long time ago.
Did you enjoy your year in Germany?
Yeah, I loved it. It was a great time for my wife and I, and got to see a different part of the world and real passionate about the game over in Germany. Made a lot of friends and lifelong relationships.
All right. I'm going to just put the Oilers are playing the Montreal Canadiens. I know you're from Toronto, and there's a bunch of Woodcroft playing hockey. Were you guys all Leafs fans as kids growing up in Toronto?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? For sure we were. The Leafs were the biggest thing going in town. And as I got into my early teens, that's when it was the Doug Gilmore kind of era there. And they were a really good team and went deep in the playoffs a couple times. But the Woodcroft family, they were Leaf fans. But with all three boys making their living in the game, that kind of went by the wayside. And my family cheers for whatever teams we're working for.
There you go. Very political. You know, I grew up, I'll be honest, I was a Dave Keon fan at one point. But in the mid-70s, migrated to the Canadiens. I made a good decision. I became a huge Guy Lafleur fan, hated the Flyers. And then, of course, for me, the change in the guard was when the Oilers played the Canadiens in the 81 playoffs, and Davey Hunter was all over Guy Lafleur, and I realized, and Guy LaPointe went after Dave Hunter, and at that point, at that exact moment, I realized I was no longer a Canadiens fan. I was cheering for my hometown team. So I just bring it up because Montreal's in town, and you know what it's like all the years you were in the NHL. It's a pretty special place to go into and a pretty special organization.
Yeah, I think I had the opportunity to work for an original six franchise with Detroit as well, and I think those original six franchises, it's always special when you're playing one of those teams. There just seems to be an electricity in the air, and when you go into those cities and into some of their buildings, you can really feel the passion in their fan bases. So it's always unique and fun. And I know, that's tough to do with this year with the pandemic and whatnot, but there's always something special when you're going against an original six jersey.
I tell you, our fans are on it. Our listeners are on it. Epstein's mother has just texted the show to say, Bob, you're three questions in on Jay Woodcroft, and you haven't asked him yet about Ryan McLeod, who you've asked him about all season. You knew it was coming. And if you saw McLeod's post-game comments after Saturday's game, it was blatantly apparent what was going to happen. Your job is, part of your job is to help develop and get these guys ready. Bittersweet moment to, you know, to see you lose. Maybe your, has he been your best player here over the last month? And to see him get the opportunity to come up to the NHL.
Yeah, I would say it's a sweet, sweet moment, right? It's sweet because you get to see his progression on being a great player on a very good hockey team and being one of the leaders of that team. So to see him achieve his lifelong dream of the first NHL recall, it's special. And so I'm very, very happy for him. He has he has been our best player. He has been consistent with his efforts. I think he plays on one of, if not the best lines in the American Hockey League, and full credit should go to Benson and Marody alongside McLeod, in that they all complemented each other well and have got off to great starts in their American League year. But the time was right for Ryan, and he's excited about it, and he understands that success is an ongoing state of mind. It's the series of habits and commitments that you make, and I know he's happy about the recall, but he's not just happy about being there. He wants to make an impact.
Jay Woodcroft joining us. Jay, he could always skate. I mean, he was a dominant skater in the OHL. And the reason why he wasn't a first-round pick, because he's got size, was people questioned, his hockey sense and his willingness to engage in the battle. I'm pretty sure you were on the bench in Calgary in 2018 when he set up two goals in the preseason game. Him and Benson set up Bouchard for a goal off the right side in the preseason, and then he hit Yamamoto on about a 180-foot stretch pass. And at that point, I was like, this guy's pretty good. Like, this guy's got some. Then we went into Winnipeg a little bit later on in the preseason, and the fans were like, hey, that guy's pretty good. You could see that there's something there. So what, he always had the physical tools. What do you think it is that he's done? Because I'm the 75-25 rule, right? 75% of what a player achieves is on the player. 25% is on the approach the organization has, and we'll get to that in a second. But what has he improved upon the most that has made him this type of player?
I would say his willingness to get his nose dirty, his willingness to stay in hard areas rather than glide through them, his willingness to pay a price in search of offense. And, you and I have had this discussion where I've always felt good about his defensive conscience, about his willingness to be above people and the work that he puts on the defensive side of the puck. He's a good penalty killer, and he's just a conscientious defensive player. But in order for him to take a step and to grow his game, we put a lot of emphasis with him on paying the price to produce offense. And in order to do that in a man's league, which the American League is, you do have to get your nose dirty. You have to commit to playing on the inside. You have to commit to battling and staying in the fight, so to speak, and going to hard areas. And he's done an excellent job. He actually, his first four or five games of the year, he struggled offensively, but he was getting his chances, and he stuck with it and stuck with it. And when that line got put together, he really took off. And what I'm most proud of about him and that line is that they play the game the right way. They don't cheat in search of offense. They're not lingering in behind defenses waiting for, a team to turn it over. They're playing the game the right way, and they're getting rewarded for it. And to see Ryan get his chance at the highest level, like I've said with numerous guys in the past, we're like proud parents here as coaches in Bakersfield.
All right. And is that part of this as well? Because we used to have this discussion when you were on the Oilers staff. I'm from the school that the American Hockey League's primary focus should be on developing players and then also finding ways to win, yes, but never losing sight that, you know, the Oilers prospects got to be prioritized in terms of bringing them along. And I'm not sure that always happened, Jay, until the last couple of years where it seems like there's a little bit greater success. Did that discussion exist with you and Pete Chiarelli when you went and took that job, or did you just know that that came with the territory and the responsibility of the position?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think when we set out a couple of years ago to take this job, one of the things that was paramount was that we wanted to develop players at a greater rate, and we wanted to do it in a winning environment. And I think that those two things are not mutually exclusive. You can do both. And if I was going to look back and understand on how we were going to get it done, it's something that, you know, it goes to our coaching philosophy here, which is we want to be tough-minded on standards of performance, but also have a keen understanding of individuals and personalities and what it's going to take to get the most out of those personalities. And prioritizing our prospects is important, but you want to do so the right way. And we're fortunate here that we've had some good players come through. And, you know, Tyler Benson wasn't gifted anything. Ethan Bear wasn't gifted anything. Kyler Yamamoto wasn't gifted anything, and neither was Ryan McLeod or Evan Bouchard. Those guys earned everything they got here in Bakersfield, and I think when you are tough-minded on those standards of performance and you reward good play and you prioritize development, I think it's beneficial for the entire organization, and right now we're seeing the fruits of that.
Tyler Benson, by my count, has 131 points in 141 games over the last three seasons in the American Hockey League, and he's plus 30 during that stretch. He's plus 20 this season. He has to clear waivers next fall. If I'm just going to put your manager's hat on, what do you think would happen if he got a chance to play 15 or 20 games, say as a middle six left wing next season?
Well, you know, when I think of Tyler, I think where he's taken the biggest step this year has been in his puck security. You know, in football, when the coaches talk about ball security and, yep, and managing the game, and for me, you know, I think of his growth coming in that area, his puck security, his wall play, his guaranteeing pucks out at our blue line, his guaranteeing pucks in at the opposition's blue line. You're talking about a skilled player, basically a point-a-game guy as a professional. You know, there's a lot of guys in this league that try and force things in tough areas at maybe not the right times of the game. Where Tyler has taken that step is understanding what the team needs in different situations. So his puck security has gone through the roof. One of the areas that you know, we're trying to provide a line of sight for Tyler is that, you know, if we can continue to be a plus player and drive offense but find some special teams ice on the penalty kill, that might be an avenue for him going forward. In that, you know, he might not, when he gets his next opportunity in the NHL, whenever that is, he might not go on the first power play. Well, how do you find a way to impact the game? How do you find a way to garner ice time? Well, one of those ways is to be a good penalty killer. And it's my experience that really smart players have a knack for being able to penalty kill. And that's one, yep, of the things that I've sat down with Tyler at the beginning of the year of trying to grow that side of his game, and he's done an excellent job. Our penalty kill has been very good this season, and he's a big part of it.
We're joined by Jay Whitecroft, head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. We're getting texts in. Can Jay give an assessment, 8 games now, for Raphael Lavoie?
Dynamic player, and his dimension is he's a shooter. He is a shoot first, ask questions later type of guy, which is great. It's fun because he drives a lot of offense. He is a big, strong guy and competitive. I'm impressed by him. He's playing with two veterans here in Bakersfield that I think help him. One of the areas that a lot of young players need to grow when they first get to the American Hockey League is their game management. It's the it's not extending a 45-second shift into a 50 or 55-second shift, which they might have been able to do in junior or college hockey. So he's learning that side of the game. You know, just that management of handing a good shift off to your teammate, and understanding that you don't have to break the game open every shift. So he's learning that side of things, but I've been super impressed with him. He shoots the puck extremely well. I think he's very smart, ethereal type guy, and you know, he's got to learn just some of the professional habits that will round out his game here in Bakersfield.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy, you know, we're talking at least, you know, the end of this season, and I'm sure next year as well, as he continues to grow. Very sort of subtle signing, or maybe it isn't subtle because he's a big player, but the new type of defenseman, the long-rangey guys, you don't have the, you know, the defensemen that fight 25 or 30 times a year anymore, but you need guys that can take up space on the ice. And the Oilers signed Vincent Desharnais today, or Bakersfield Condors did, to a two-year AHL deal. Now, I'm going to assume that includes a clause that Edmonton has the first right if, you know, if the agent can get him an NHL deal somewhere. But maybe just a thought process, educate our listeners on how Desharnais has helped settle your D down, big, rangy, right-shot defenseman.
Yeah, it's a number one credit to our scouting staff who found this player later on in the draft. I think he was a seventh round draft pick for the organization. It's a credit to the player and the work that he's put in. It's not always, you know, you're starting in the NHL. Actually, Vincent spent a good amount of time in the East Coast Hockey League last year. He's come in this year and taken a step. He's a guy that gets in the way of opposing offenses. He gets a piece on you. He finds a way to get a piece on you, whether it's his stick, his body, whatever it is, he gets in the way. And that's a good quality to have, so much so that we've nicknamed him the Seaweed Man here in Bakersfield, because playing against Vincent Desharnais is like swimming through kelp. There's always something that gets on you. And, you know, we're real happy for him that he was able to find a two-year deal at our level. I think he's a prospect that's worth keeping an eye on. And like you said, he's got that dimension that you can't teach and you can't work on, which is he's 6'7". So we're excited about him. And, you know, he's, like I said, he's someone to keep an eye on going forward.
Jay, we have a San Jose Sharks fan known as Phil. He's Fear the Finn, and he lives by me. I see him once in a while at the Riverbend Safeway, and he goes, come on, Bob, you've hardly talked about Patrick Marleau today. He's going to break Gordie Howe's record. You coached Patty Marleau for a number of years. We'll leave it to you to maybe give us a comment on just how special of a player he's been.
Yes, one of my favorite players that I ever coached, somebody that I was and still am very tight with. He's a gentleman's gentleman. He is a physical marvel. Good Saskatchewan, good Western Canadian boy that could absolutely fly. Was huge, was versatile and durable. What a credit to his training, to his family, to his work ethic, to be able to play all those games. I've been in touch with him and just to wish him congratulations. And, you know, he's such a gentleman. He gets back right away. And you know, I think it's great for the sport. That's going to be a tough one to break going forward. And to see him achieve that, I think it's excellent. Like I said, one of my favorite players I ever coached.
Quickly, Jay, the schedule this week.
Schedule this week, we're about to get on a bus and head to Henderson, Nevada to play two games in Henderson, and then we finish our week on Saturday night versus Ontario. And you know, it's been a busy month for us. We just came off 4 games in 5 nights. We had a day off yesterday, got a little rest in, and it's going to be a big series in Henderson for sure.
Keep her going, Jay. Great stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Take care.
You bet. That's Jay Woodcroft, Bakersfield Condors head coach. The best pizza in the city, still making a great Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. All April, enjoy a free 2-liter Coke product with the purchase of any two large pizzas. Order online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Star for recommendation, Mediterranean Chicken. Two, this day in Oilers history, brought to you by Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel. And back of the 630 Chad Studios, Brendan Escott.
1995, Bill Ranford records his 10th career shutout as the Oilers blank the Los Angeles Kings 2-0 at Northlands Coliseum. Kelly Buckberger opened the scoring on the power play in the first period, and then nothing else until Doug Waite scored the empty netter.
Of course, that was the year of a lockout, a prolonged lockout, just a 48-game schedule. So the Oilers did not make the playoffs. That was from 93 to 96. They didn't make the playoffs. But a little bit later that year, that was the year that Detroit got upset by New Jersey in the Stanley Cup Final. Tomorrow, Sportsnet's Mark Spector for the horses in Horse Racing Alberta. The horses remain in training. They continue receiving the utmost in care. Stay safe, and we'll see you at the races when it's safe to do so. Horse Racing Alberta. We will tell you that tonight, the face-off show, Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Cam Moon, and myself, we'll have the call at 5:30 with the puck drop at 7 p.m. Up next, here we go. It's a big, if you're following things politically and on a financial front, federal government is set to unveil its first formal budget in 2 years. They don't do a budget every year, or maybe just not the current administration doesn't do a budget every year. You'll hear from Federal Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland when she announces the budget contents after the 2 o'clock news. Jaylen will have all the details. They'll be joined by an all-star cast of experts sharing their analysis this afternoon. Off to a global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell. I will rejoin you at 5:30. So long, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.